الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And surely the best reward ultimately in the end is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity or ill feeling except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners. And that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always, constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I remind myself, I caution myself about the critical nature of taqwa, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being mindful of the Creator, meaning that in every aspect of our life, whether it be within the masjid walls or outside, we remember Allah. Whether it be reading the Quran or reading a newspaper, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In everything that we do, we recognize that there is one mighty in power. There is one who is well aware of all that we do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in his glorious book in a way which defies repetition, that nobody, no human being was able to create the Arabic language in such a way that not only would it be the pinnacle of Arabic linguistically, but also it would serve people as a light in the times of darkness throughout history. No other textbook, no other set of poetry has ever reached this level. And Allah has revealed in Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 13, O humanity, surely we created you from a male and female and made you into nations and tribes that you would know one another. Surely the most honored with Allah is the one who is most mindful of Allah. And surely Allah has knowledge of all things and he is aware of everything that we do. And so Allah told us, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum, that the one who is the most honorable, the highest standard with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who has the highest standard of taqwa, al khawf wal raja, that we fear Allah, we hope in His mercy, and we keep this in everything that we do. And so the Quran speaks here not just to believers, but it speaks to humanity. And humanity spread thousands of years ago all throughout the planet. From the African continent spreading to Asia, Europe, to the Americas, spreading all over the planet. And people went through changes because of the environment that they lived in. Colors began to change. Texture of skin changed. Relationships started to change because of the environmental influences. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to us that this change is to know one another. It is not to disrespect one another or to feel that because of the color of skin or because of language that one is higher than another. And so when the people of the Americas by the 15th, 16th century had reached 75 million people with great civilizations, they were struck with a calamity, a colonial onslaught where the people's culture was destroyed, their languages broken into pieces, their literature ruined. And during this colonial period, during this period of conquest, one of the worst things that happened to the people in this part of the world is not just genocide, the killing of the body, but it was the killing of the mind. The Spanish, when they conquered territories based upon their fear of knowledge coming out of Al-Andalus, after Muslims had ruled for almost 800 years and dominated the world, the Spanish then, in trying to take them down, destroyed everything they could find of knowledge. And so in Granada and Cordoba and Toledo and the great cities of Al-Andalus, they burnt millions of books. And they brought this understanding here to the Americas. And every place the Spanish would conquer, they would pile all the written literature they could find in the middle of the square, and they would burn it. When the other nations came from Europe to take over the land, in many cases they did not burn the books. In many cases they hid the books in libraries, in archival sections, and they wrote new books to change the history. And so they wrote out the history of the indigenous people. They wrote out the history of the Latino people, indigenous people, to the area of Mexico and Latin America. They wrote out the history of African people who were brought to this part of the world as slaves and political prisoners. They tried to destroy the mind. And so it is in this struggle to bring back the mind of people that many scholars of African descent, especially in the 20th century, struggled to bring back a history that reflected all human beings, especially in this part of the world. And so it was in 1926 that Carter G. Woodson started Black History Week. He chose February, not because of the climate, because this is the worst time of the year, but he chose it because February 12th was the birthday of President Abraham Lincoln, and February 14th was the birthday of Frederick Douglass, who was a great African-American abolitionist who struggled for freedom in this part of the world. And we have proof that Frederick Douglass originally came from a Muslim family. And so this was adopted by the United States as Black History Month in 1976 and by Canada in 1995. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed in His divine revelation, He had revealed a chapter which stands in the face of racism. A chapter which taught believers right from the beginning that is not the color of skin which separates human beings, creations of Allah. And so Allah revealed Surah Luqman, the 31st chapter of the book of Allah, a chapter filled with wisdom and guidance. Who was Luqman? According to many of the great scholars, companions, and tabi'i, and the report coming in to reflect this, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, He said that on the authority of Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, that Luqman belonged to the black people of Egypt. We now know as Nubians. He belonged to the Nubian people. And Almighty Allah granted him wisdom, but not prophethood. According to Yahya on Ibn al-Musayyib, while he was preaching, while Luqman was preaching, a man came to him and said, who used to know him, and he said, "Aren't you the slave so-and-so who used to look after my sheep not so long in the past?" And Luqman said, "Yes." The man said, "What raised you to this high status?" And Luqman answered, "The divine decree, Qadrullah." This is where the wisdom comes in. He said, "The divine decree, repaying trusts, telling the truth, and discarding and keeping silent regarding what does not concern me." Deep wisdom he is revealing. And it is reported and came through revelation, which confirmed what came in our reports in Surah Luqman, verse 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ." Allah revealed, "We bestowed wisdom upon Luqman, saying, give thanks to Allah. And whoever gives thanks to Allah does so to his own good. And whoever is ungrateful, then know that surely Allah is knowledgeable of all things, and that He is sufficient, and He is immensely praiseworthy." And so Luqman, rahimahullah, according to the stories of the Quran by Hafiz Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, Luqman, he was described as a perceptive man, always watching animals and plants in his surroundings. And he tried to understand the world based on what he saw. So if he lived today and he saw what was happening to the climate, and he saw that over 50% of mammals and birds have been destroyed, he would be in great stress. Back to the report. One day while sleeping under a tree, he was inspired by Allah and informed that he would be given a gift, either kingdom, to be a great king, or to be a knowledgeable person. And so he chose knowledge. And when he woke from his slumber, he became aware that his senses and his understanding had sharpened. He felt in complete harmony with nature and could understand the inner meaning of things beyond their physical reality. Immediately, he prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he thanked Allah azza wa jal for this mighty gift. But Luqman had to go under a test. Slavery was an international institution. People of all colors could be taken slave. And in the ancient world, you were either free or slave. So many of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, like Salman al-Farisi, the Persian, Suhaib al-Rumi, the Roman-looking person, they were slaves. Zayd ibn Haritha, the Arab, was a slave. So slavery was a worldwide institution, but it still took the rights away from the person. And so Luqman, rahimahullah, although he was given this natural insight, this wisdom, he was caught in a slave raid and he was made a slave. But he suffered through his bondage with faith and with hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hafiz Ibn Kathir reports that the man who bought Luqman was a good, intelligent person. He treated Luqman with kindness, and he sensed that Luqman had a special kind of wisdom. And so he tested him one day, and he said to Luqman, "I want you to slaughter a sheep and bring me back the worst part of the sheep. Bring me back the worst part of the sheep." And so Luqman slaughtered the sheep, and he brought back the tongue and the heart. And the man was shocked at the wisdom of Luqman. And he wanted to see more about this insight. And so he said, "Slaughter another sheep and bring me back the best part of the sheep." And so Luqman slaughtered the sheep, and he brought back the same two parts, the tongue and the heart. The man was shocked, and he said to Luqman, he asked, "Why do you say this?" And Luqman showed him that if a person is pure, then his tongue and his heart is all sweet. But if he is wicked, then the tongue and the heart is bitter, and it is wicked as well. Luqman, rahimahullah, shared his wisdom. His knowledge became known amongst the people. And again, slavery was not all ball and chain and whip. Luqman had his home, he had his family. He was basically working for the man. And people would come to him for wisdom, seeking wisdom from this Nubian man, a person described as dark-skinned person from Africa. They would seek knowledge from all over the countryside, to the point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed how Luqman, in sharing his knowledge, shared his knowledge first with his family. And he spoke to his son in the oft-repeated verses, speaking to his son. And in verse 13 in the chapter of Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِإِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. He then revealed, Allah revealed, and called to mind when Luqman said to his son, while he was teaching him, "My son, do not associate partners with Allah, because associating partners with Allah is a terrible wrong. It is a grievous sin." La tushrik billah. So Luqman, above all, was muwahid. He was a person of tawheed. And he showed very clearly the first wisdom you must learn is not to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any possible way. And the chapter continued. And in the next verses, in verse number 14, Allah said, "And we commanded people to be good to their parents. The mothers carried them with strain upon strain. And it took 2 years to wean them." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent the knowledge through Luqman, not just for his son, but he sent that knowledge for us today. And this is where the Quran breaks through racism. It breaks through the concept that based on the color of your skin, you are intelligent. That is what the Hindu Brahmin system says. That's what apartheid system said in South Africa. That's what Jim Crow said in the Americas, that the lighter, the more intelligent. It breaks through the racism and gives us knowledge that we need right now. How do you act as a Muslim under the terror that we are facing? Luqman then said, verses 17, "Ya Bunayya, aqim is salat, wa'mur bil ma'ruf, wanha anil munka, wasbi ala ma asabak, inna dhalika min azmil umur." Luqman continued, "O my dear son, establish prayer, encourage what is good and forbid evil and endure patiently with whatever befalls you, for surely this is the most resolute of the affairs in your life. Establishment of prayers, calling to the good and forbidding evil. So we're not supposed to be stagnated Muslims. If we see evil, we need to take a stand. Either with our tongue, with our hand, our tongue, at least feel it in the heart. If we can call to the good, we need to call to the good. And when we do this, we will be under attack. And this is where sabr comes in. This is the most resolute. Luqman continued, وَلَا تُسَعِيَ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُوَى. Allah continued revealing the wisdom of Luqman, and do not turn up your nose to people and walk arrogantly on the earth. Do not be arrogant. For surely Allah does not love those who are arrogant and boastful. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْدُدْ مِنْ سَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَسَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. And the wisdom of Luqman continued on when he said, be moderate in your pace. Moderate. Don't be an extremist. Not one extreme or another extreme. Keep a moderate pace. This is great wisdom for us today. Lower your voice, because surely the ugliest voice in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the braying of the donkey. And so Luqman rahimahullah, not having received prophethood, but having received wisdom. The wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a direct revelation that has come to us here today in the 21st century. And Ibn Wahab, rahimahullah, great scholar, he summarizes in the wisdom of Luqman, he brings out some important points. And he takes us back to when Luqman was first coming out and people wanted to look down on him and say, why are you in this high position? And Luqman then said to them, my advice to you is lower what I do, lowering my gaze. I watch my tongue. I eat what is lawful. I keep my chastity. In other words, I'm not involved in immorality. I undertake my promises. I fulfill promises. Amana. If I am given a trust, I fulfill the trust. I fulfill my commitments. I am hospitable to my guests. I take care of my guests. I respect my neighbors. And I discard what does not concern me. All of these made you see the person who you're looking at today. So this is the wisdom of Luqman rahimahullah. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give us this wisdom, give this to the Muslim world, especially the leaders of the Muslim world, to bring us from darkness into light in these difficult times. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. فيقول الحق سبحانه فيقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لكل أمة فتنة وفتنة أمتي المال. Every nation has a trial and test, and the trial and test of this nation is wealth. ويقول الحق سبحانه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله على الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وأنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريدا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله